Yeah. Hi, I'm Paul Schaefer.
I'm Will Lee.
And you're watching the Letterman Podcast. La, 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 la.
Welcome once again to the Letterman Podcast. My name is Mike Chisholm. Here we are. We got the two-year anniversary show. Let's throw it out there. Last year for our anniversary, we had Paul Schaefer as our guest. And so for the last few months, I've had a whole bunch of people saying, Mike, who's going to be the anniversary year two anniversary guest? And we threw some things out there. We actually had somebody who was, it doesn't matter who it was. They it would have been a really, really cool get. And, last week, when I was out of town, I got an email saying, we're sorry, this person is too busy, can't make it work with the schedule, and hopefully another time we'll make that happen. And so I'm going to kind of keep it under my hat for now. But I love serendipity. This is an episode about serendipity. It really is, because when this person exited, I wasn't sure what we were going to do. I thought maybe I'll just do an episode where it's just me. And then I realized that that would be an anniversary present to no one. That would be terrible if I did that. And suddenly, serendipity kind of struck and says, hey, you know what? The Marquee, the Letterman Marquee, we've talked about it on here, the Ed Sullivan Theater Marquee, which Dave put up for raffle as a benefit to Habitat for Humanity. $100,000 was raised. And as part of the winning of that prize, Dave and company delivered the Marquee to the winner. That happened this week. And if you go to the Letterman channel, the official Letterman YouTube channel, you will see the video of the whole thing. So watch that, because it's way better than watching me. That being said, the gal who won it, Helen Halford, won this thing, and she is our guest today. Now, as you will find out once you watch the on the official channel, you'll see that she gave the keeping of that sign, the responsibilities of being the keeper for this gigantic, 8-foot by 20-foot sign to her uncle Preston. Preston Beale is his name. Now, they are both our guests today here on the Letterman Podcast, on the 2-year anniversary of the Letterman Podcast. They are our guest. They got a chance to hang out with Dave this week. Dave just turned 77. Happy birthday to you, Dave. And Helen and Preston were absolutely awestruck by the energy and the magic and the experience of having David Letterman show up at their place, drop off an 8x20 sign. And there's a lot of very cool magic to this. Preston has a link to the Ed Sullivan Theater. He was there on that fateful night when the Beatles performed. And if you watch on the Letterman YouTube channel, if you watch the video of that, they go into that a little bit. It's very cool to have Helen and Preston on here to kind of have an extended dialogue about winning the Marquee, but also the experience of having Dave come and deliver it. Obviously, everybody is just filled with delight about this, myself as well. And really, at the end of the day, why are we doing the Letterman Podcast? Well, the Letterman Podcast is a celebration of the greatest body of broadcast work in history, that of David Letterman and Company. And today's episode, our 2-year anniversary, we've got a couple people and we're all just celebrating. We're doing exactly what the tagline says. We're taking our enthusiasm and comparing it and talking about some of these things that resonate with us in this human experience as we connect to some of the things that we appreciate so much. And I just want to say that I appreciate everybody who has put up with me for this last 2 years. I appreciate the fact that we are growing a community. That was right from the very beginning. That's something that we wanted to do. We wanted to get folks in the community who are enthusiasts of this thing together and in a different way and focus on that. And it's been an amazing 2 years. It really has. More ups than downs. The downs are big. Losing Rick, I can't believe I'm 2 years into this thing and Rick's, I can now say that I've been doing the show longer without Rick in my corner than when I had him. And I miss him every day, and he's always going to be a part of this thing. I just want to say everybody who has jumped on board from the folks who are the staffers to people who have worked with the show tangentially, Don Giller, my goodness, I gotta say thank you so much to Don Giller for keeping this flame alive forever, but also for the times that he has assisted us with this show. I cannot express how flabbergasted I am that I feel with Dawn, like it's a bit of a Dennis the Menace, Mr. Wilson kind of relationship. I believe I'm Dennis, and I've annoyed the living snot out of him. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate him. Just like Dennis, I'm certain would say, were he a real creature, how much he does appreciate Mr. Wilson. And everybody who has supported and given time, advice, no matter where that advice is coming from, some of it heavy-handed, some of it with love, but everybody who has supported this show and understood what we're trying to do here, as we're stumbling forward, thank you very, very much. It's been a really fun 2 years, and I've got a couple things up the sleeve that hopefully will expand this thing that we're doing, that is the Letterman podcast. So that being said, happy 2 year anniversary to the Letterman podcast, to everybody here. Please like, share, subscribe, all that crap. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy that today's episode of the Letterman podcast featuring marquee Ed Sullivan Theater, marquee winners, Helen Halford and Preston Beale. Okay, Helen, I got to tell you, Preston, we'll get to you in a second. And we delightfully will get to you in a second, because I'll tell you this, Helen, when the video came out and Barbara Gaines mentioned who won the Late Show marquee, righteous jealousy and furious envy entered the minds of a lot of people. And this week, the good news about that is because Pants released the video of the delivery and showed you and Preston and the story behind everything. Oh my gosh, is it ever cool when life gives you one of those things where there are no coincidences and some very, very neat little trails happen that were unintended, and the rest of the world gets to have a really cool story. That has certainly happened here. You won the Late Show marquee. When Letterman raised $100,000 for Habitat for Humanity, congratulations!
Thank you. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So, I said I'm still reeling, still kind of can't believe all this happened. But I'm excited. It's been a lot of fun.
You're still reeling from it. Now, you found out a couple months ago that you won this sucker, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Okay. Found out from the prize company at first, when they sent me an email, and of course I was like, is this for real? Because like I said, I really didn't think I was gonna win, but then I was thinking, well, who else would know that I actually entered this contest? Like, I didn't tell anybody, so I'm like, well, I think it might be. Yeah, I said, I think it probably is. And so, of course I texted my family and I texted Preston pretty quickly. There's one of the dogs. Him pretty quickly, and I'm like, I think I just won the marquee from the with David Letterman. They're like, oh wow, that's amazing. And then when Walter, David Letterman, executive producer, called me.
Yep.
And then a few minutes later, David Letterman called me, and I didn't answer the phone because I didn't know the numbers. Yeah, I didn't recognize the numbers. And then I heard the messages. I'm like, yeah, it's real. It's real now. So it was a lot of fun. It was pretty exciting. I'm glad I didn't answer the phone, because now I have the message. I will put her outside. Hold on a second.
You're gonna put the dog outside. Okay, don't worry about this. This is so fun having you two and real life happening. Dogs and all of that stuff just show the richness of the delight that everybody's feeling. For you, and this is just such a good it's a good feel good story. We're gonna get to Preston in a second here, how the connection was, but at the end of the day, Preston, you didn't know that Helen entered this contest.
No, I did not.
Okay. And Helen, you obviously knew that your uncle Preston had this history with the Ed Sullivan Theater, right?
Yes, I did. Yep. And that was, certainly part of the reason I'm like, oh, that would be fun. Because of that, I was like, oh, of course I love David Letterman.
Yep.
But the history with the, Ed Sullivan Theater and the Beatles, I was like, that'd be pretty cool to win. I think I heard about the contest from my brother. And he was like, he's like, I don't remember telling you about that, but I think that he did.
Yep.
So it's kind of funny that, you know, that's how it all happened. But yeah, I was like, okay, I can, yeah, you know, I was like, yeah, it's a great cause. It would be really awesome if somehow I did win it, you know, but, yep. And so that's why, like I said, he was one of the first people that I let know about it because, you know, I knew that he would just be all over it, you know.
This is really great, and they're going to be doing more. I have it on pretty good authority that they're going to be doing more of these raffles soon, and it's so cool how the fan base can kind of get together and talk about this, and people come from different places and different corners to find it. So your brother let you know about the contest. Did you enter just the once, or did you enter multiple times throughout the window?
This contest?
Yes.
Just one time.
One time. And it was early on.
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was pretty much because I think it started in November, right? Like late November. Yeah. I think I pretty much entered as soon as I heard about, you know, as soon as it began. So, yeah. And I guess I didn't really think about it again until I got, I guess I'm probably on Instagram. I saw a couple more videos, you know, and things like that, that they kind of were promoting it a little bit more. And I was like, oh yeah, that's still happening. And so I was just like, oh yeah, you know, that's great. So, so it was, something that I just thought that'd be fun. That'd be
in
cool.
In the original video, one of the things that Dave said when he was talking about it, he said, now it's big, and he influenced he emphasized the word big. It's big, and this sucker is huge. It's gigantic. At the moment of entry, did it go through your mind the logistics of what will happen if I actually win this thing?
No. I guess I saw the measurements, and I just didn't really, 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 really think about it. You know, until I actually won, I'm like, oh wow, like what a where. With that, you know. So I thought about a lot of different things, you know. In my house, definitely not. In my backyard, I was like, yeah, maybe. But I, you know, again, I have a couple dogs. I'm like, you know, it was outside for how many years? 20 years, I think. I think, you know, it can withstand elements. But I just didn't think, you know, my yard with a couple dogs running around, it was, you know, the best place for it either. So I was like, well, you know, and I, excuse me if I'm getting ahead of your question.
Helen's a free spirit. She's unencumbered by logistics and earthly facts.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. So I texted Preston. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, where I'm going to put it. Do you want it? And then I'll let him tell you what he did.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's do that. And then let's unfold the history, because when I watch this video, well, first off, you see Helen, and I mean, you light up a room. How can any of us who wanted this thing so badly, whether we knew what we were going to do with it or not, how could we ever be mad at someone like you winning this thing? I mean, my goodness. We'll get to Preston in a second. I want to ask about, give us your level of enthusiasm for David Letterman going through the years. Did you watch the show very much?
So yes, I did. When I was in college, and then, you know, after college, I would stay up late and watch him. I think once I had kids, I couldn't stay up that late, you know, very often anymore. So, not able to watch it as frequently, but certainly would, you know, follow him, you know, however I, you know, like follow, like, you know, in, you know, on TV as much as I could. I just loved the show. Was always, I mean, just thought it was so well done, so funny. Love his sense of humor. Great guests always. And the things that were like more silly were very creative and fun, you know, to watch, I think, as well.
So you have a good basis for who the man on TV is. I mean, many people himself, our best friend on TV. That's how we refer to Dave all the time. And then you got a chance to actually meet the man. Was there an apt comparison? Was it the guy who was on TV? Was it different? What was the, what would you say that, were you surprised by anything? Or was it like, no, this is the guy that I watched all that time?
Yeah, I think it was the guy that I watched all that time. He was very, again, he made me laugh. He was friendly. Just great to talk to and to, hang out with for a little while. It's funny because it's kind of, it's still kind of a blur because, I mean, when something like that happens to you, it's hard to be in the moment. It's nice to be able to go to watch it, be like I remembered things about it, but then I was like, oh, like, what did I say here? Like that. So in my memory, it's kind of a blur, but
he was always ready with a funny line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the razor
always
sharp.
Always, just instinctively.
Yeah.
The first thing, he comes in the kitchen, he said, who doesn't want to be here? And he went like this. And of course he was kidding because he was only supposed to be there for 15 minutes and he stayed almost an hour and a half, pucking around, asking questions, going into different rooms. He seemed to have some fun.
That's fantastic. I love hearing that. So I want to know, because I want to bring Preston into it now, because you find out you win the sucker, and what a keepsake that is, the video of you finding out that you win. You've got the message from on your voicemail. That's fantastic. Immediately logistics set in and you give Preston a call. I want to know, with his connection to the Ed Sullivan Theater, which we're going to get to in a second here, did you go into any of that when you were talking with Letterman's people? Did you let them know the history there, or was that a surprise to them when they showed up?
I don't think that I did. I'm trying to remember back. Because I had conversations on the phone with Walter.
Yep.
But he asked me maybe the day before we, or maybe 2 days before we did the taping, he said, what are the names of the, of the people? Like, he knew it was going to my uncle's house, yep, but he didn't have his name. He was like, oh, what's his name? And I told him his name. And, so then like the next day he sent me a text saying, oh, is it true that your uncle was at the Beatles? Because he found an article, I guess he was doing some research, yep, on that we're going to be there. He's like, is it true that your uncle was at, there when the Beatles were there? And I'm like, yeah, it's true. I said, that was him. And so they thought, they thought that was fascinating. They made that a really nice tie-in as well. So yeah, so they had no idea.
So this is where we're going to get to Preston now. And I, as a viewer watching it unfold again, it starts seeing how bright you are and how great it is and who could be mad at you, even though we wanted this thing so badly, all of us fans. You got it. Nice job, Helen. And then suddenly this little sub story starts to unfold. Okay, well, it's going to my uncle's house because he has all this room and whatnot. But then it's beyond that. And Preston, I'm really curious about your the reaction to when you found out that she won, the idea that it was going to come to your place and your place in history. You have been at one of the most iconic moments in all of entertainment. You were there for it in the building. You now have the marquee from it. Let's talk a little bit about that. What was your reaction when you found out that Helen won? And let's go into, that night that you were at the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Well, I was skeptical for, about a day because I thought, well, anything could be going on here. And I think she was also. But then it got quickly confirmed. And I thought, well, that is astounding because I've, of course, lived in New York and saw the sign. And I'd sat in the audience for the show 3 times because you can get tickets. And I love Dave, so I went.
Do you remember who the guests were when you went?
Excuse me? No, I don't remember.
Do you remember who the guests were when you went? Okay, yeah.
No, but I think I told an usher one time, I was right down there when the Beatles were here. And of course, I fully expected to be swept onto the stage for an interview, and they would, you know, they would bump Kiefer Sutherland or something and put me on. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's really nice. They'd see you later. So it was never acknowledged, nor did I really expect it to be, but I did mention it once. But it was a little heady for me to walk back into that room and remember the day, and they endeavored to keep quite a bit of the studio the same. They renovated the whole building for many millions of dollars, but they kept certain marks of the walls and the ceilings and everything as they were. So I could feel it.
For those who haven't been in the Ed Sullivan Theater, the ornate.
Exactly.
It's just, it's so beautiful. And it's funny. I was there in October for Rupert G's retirement, and they did the party for him at Worldwide Pants, put it on for Rupert, and they did it in the lobby of the Ed Sullivan Theater. Right. And so you had all these people who walked in, they hadn't been there for a long time. And of course, Colbert has changed it again completely, but the lobby is almost identical to when they were there, you know, some coats of paint, things like that, but they've kept it very similar to how it was. I love hearing the fact that you were there to see the Beatles and there were some of these echoes that remained. That is a very cool little
aside. They had there. Reverence for the building. And they updated where they had to, but they tried to keep some of the authenticity. And you spotted it. It was the filigree and designs and things that were on the wall that they decided we're not touching that.
Yeah, that is that's fantastic. I got goosebumps right now thinking about it. That is so neat. Let's go back. Can we talk about that day when you were like, do you still remember it like it was yesterday? I mean, you did a good job. They did a good job recounting it. They showed a picture of you in the audience, in the video on the official Letterman channel. That was great. Have you talked about this nonstop since that day? Like, is there a lot of time?
No, it
where you
comes
don't
up every once in a while. There are a lot of clips on TV. Sometimes they come on once a month and the kids will go, oh, Dad, you're on TV again, you know. So the 50th anniversary, there was a big special on network TV for 2 or 3 hours. And there was that. So right now is the 60th anniversary, just a couple of months ago.
Yep.
So there have been some times, but no, I don't talk about it.
Have you heard the new track that they released?
So a lot of people who know me, it's come up once in a while and they'll mention it to me, but yeah.
The Beatles is one of those things. Like, I mean,
people don't always want to hear about your good fortune every single day.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. You're preaching to the choir. I get called, I have a lot of enthusiasm. And so I'll throw things out there for things that I'm enthusiastic about. And folks will go, oh, stop bragging. It's like, no, I'm not bragging. I just want to share the enthusiasm. I want to share this stuff. And that's right. Really why we do this. Why we do this is to.
Exactly.
But that day
was very tumultuous. There was a big long line around the block.
Yep.
And I didn't get put in the front of the line or anything, but they filled the theater. And I was kind of left behind. And then this one man walked me in and he said, you're here. And there was one seat left with a piece of 2 feet of masking tape on it with my name on it. And they plunked me right down there in the fifth row. So they had saved me a seat, but they didn't put me in early. And it was very tense and loud and delayed, long delays. Yeah. And finally, as I mentioned, Ed Sullivan popped up from behind the curtain in a Beatle wig, and the place went insane. it was so fast, they couldn't tell right away that it wasn't a Beatle.
They just saw the mop, and that was it. Oh, that is fantastic.
And there are pictures of that online. You can see it.
Absolutely.
He was not a funny guy, but he was in a great mood that day. He knew that he was the news of the planet, and he was milking it.
Right.
Absolutely. Could you hear the music? I've always wondered this. When I've seen, the hysteria and the screams, the high-pitched screams and all of that stuff, all in the upper registry, dogs everywhere, gone, just out of here. We're, can't do it anymore. I always wondered, could you hear the music?
Oh, absolutely, because it wasn't Shea Stadium. It was a very small theater, less than probably 600 people.
Yep.
And everybody was close to the stage. We heard every bit of it.
That's great.
That's absolutely so cool that you got to be a part of that moment, Preston. And I'm glad we got to talk about that here. Very rarely do you meet somebody who has seen something so iconic and just culturally from an artistic standpoint.
Well, there are not many of us alive anymore.
There you go. Now,
Preston is the youngest of five. And so my mother was the oldest. He had three older sisters, and he is the one that got to go. The three older sisters didn't get to go. So I can imagine they were all pretty jealous.
They were all away.
Yeah, I know.
Grown-ups were away at school, and it was actually my mother said to my dad, you know, he's listening to this Beatles music all the time, and I'm reading about them in the paper. And, you know, Ed, do you think you could make a phone call and get him in there? And my dad said, oh, boy, I don't know if I want to do that. But he did it, and they took care of him. But that's why I went instead of the girls.
Yeah.
No, it's ironic, and it's fun, and it's a story that kind of writes itself. It's almost like you can't write this stuff. That's so great. And I think about two of the our show, the tagline of our show, it's a celebration of the greatest body of broadcast work in history, that of David Letterman and Company. And we spend most of our time in this show talking about the company. We talk to the writers, we talk to the producers, we talk to people who put it all together, because Dave and his brain trust assembled some of the best people in every department of every facet of entertainment that you could have. So we don't always talk about the broadcasters themselves, but Dave himself, one of the greatest broadcasters our world has ever seen. Ed Sullivan, an argument can be made, pretty top-notch as well when it comes to this stuff. You actually have had an encounter with both of these broadcasters, Preston, and that is a pretty rare thing as well.
Yeah, I have a fabulous old picture of my dad and mom in a tuxedo with Ed Sullivan at dinner one night. I pulled it out and showed it to Dave, and he liked that. But yeah, he was good friends with Ed.
If you're open to it, I would love if you could even just take a photo of that photo and send it to us, and we can pop it up into the episode. That would be fantastic. That is what a beautiful little thing that is. I can imagine Dave would be fascinated by that. Dave is one of the things that I think is so powerful about him and makes him so relatable is how curious he is. And that curiosity spills out. When he's curious about something, people get observant about it, and it becomes extremely interesting. I got the feeling from the video, and you both can comment on this, that he was pretty curious that day, that he was present, right there. I'm going to be here for 15 minutes. He ends up being there an hour and a half. That right there shows it. It seems like he was pretty curious about all of you, some of your stories. When he found out about the Beatles part, and did he go down that rabbit hole and get excited about it?
He's very outer directed. He's outer directed. I think, you know, that's part of why he was so great as an interviewer.
Yeah, he did. Definitely want, you know, why it was, you know, as you saw in the video, he wanted to confirm by asking all of us if it was true. And we're like, oh, yeah, it's right. True. But of course, Preston's own daughter said, oh, I've never seen it. I don't know. she's seen it a few times, right?
Oh, that is absolutely delightful. Let's talk about the marquee itself. So, you know,
and then they found pictures online.
Yes, of course. Let's talk a little bit about the marquee itself. So you find out this is happening. You call up Preston and say, hey, I don't know what to do with this thing. Preston, was it an automatic, in poker, we call it an insta call. Was it an automatic? Yes. I'm taking this thing and I know what we're going to do with it. And it brought you delight immediately. Or did you have to pry your arm a little bit?
I had a good place for it. And I am interested in television. I was in the advertising business, and as was my father. So it has paid for my whole life. Television has. And I considered it a immediate yes and a tremendous honor. And it's one of the nicest things anybody's ever done for me, for Helen to share it.
You're absolutely breaking my heart. You were in television advertising for your whole career?
Yes.
And now you've got this piece of, you know, iconic advertising that you get to look at all the time. Well, if I would have known that story, if I would have won it, I would have given it to you. That's unbelievable. That is so cool. Oh, by the way, I don't know if this will, let's see if we can make this work. One of our folks who is constantly contributing and part of the Letterman podcast community sent us this. So I don't know if you want to do a trade of any sort, but we can trade you our marquee if you like.
That's great. Well,
I don't know.
We'll find a place for both of them.
Maybe the second one needs to be a little smaller.
Yeah, perhaps. Okay, so let's talk just a little bit more about Dave being there. Oh, by the way, and you got the jacket too. By the way, I don't know if you both were aware of these crew jackets or not, but for people who are enthusiasts of the show, you know, they didn't sell those crew jackets. Those crew jackets were only for the staff. A limited number were set out. I've been lucky enough to have some of the staffers send me some of theirs, so I've got a few of them. Did you know that was happening? And Helen, Preston got it. Is that how it worked? And you're happy to say, yeah, this is delightful to you? Or was there a little bit of finagling happening there as well?
No, well, so we didn't know that they were going to give that to him. What happened was while we were there, they actually sent someone back over to Letterman's house to get it and bring it back to give to him. So that was a complete and total surprise to everyone. And I think it's awesome that they did that. I think it's, you know, it like they said, it fits him perfectly. It's a perfect fit for him. I did tell him I want to borrow it sometimes though, but
we're gonna share it. So yeah,
they're comfortable.
This is Helen's deal and I'm the caboose, but it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, no.
It is. Yes.
It absolutely. It's
if
delightful.
If I ever go to Antarctica, I'm taking that jacket.
They're warm. They're really warm. Yeah. I got some friends who live in California. Like I'm Canadian, right? So, you know, I wear mine all the time. I constantly wear them because they're perfect. They're perfect late fall winter jackets. Like they're really, really warm. And I got friends in California who have some of them and they can't wear them anywhere because of how warm they are. So it's cool that you're in the Northeast and you can actually take advantage of it.
Yep. It's good.
I'm married 45 years, so I don't want any girls. I don't want girls pawing at me over it, but I'll wear it sometimes.
You know what? I love when my wife wears one of my Letterman jackets. Yeah. I love it. It's just, it's like you say, it's like high school. Like it's so,
right.
Say that again, Helen.
It's like a letter jacket, Letterman jacket.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it speaks to what you said before that he relaxed and had a good time because he didn't have the jacket. And after he was here a little while, he thought, I think there's just enough time to run and get one.
It just sounds like it was just a get together and it was very casual and easy. Did you feed him? Do you have any food there?
No.
I wish we had.
I tried to get him to go around the corner to my favorite pub. But they did. They were very excited to go into a town to a pizza place they'd heard about. They mentioned it four or five times, and they went there.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to necessarily reveal. Can we reveal the state that you're in?
Which one?
Well, I'm in Connecticut. Helen's in Jersey.
You're in Connecticut. Okay. Yeah. So I'm a huge. Every time I go to New York, I mean, of course, being from the West, from Western Canada. Every time I go to New York, it's. The pizza is just, you know, I mean, it's one of the highlights, pizza and bagels and whatnot. But I keep hearing this about Connecticut pizza. I keep hearing that that there's a not just a rivalry, but there's a lot of folks who swear by it, that Connecticut pizza is just as good, if not better, than New York.
There are three places. It has all emanated from Italian immigrants in New Haven, and it's coal-fired, and there two of them are across the street from each other. And it's like, if you know Philadelphia, there's Geno's and whatever the other cheesesteak is.
Yep.
And they're right across the street from each other. And,
yep.
You know, it's almost like church and state. So they have that here.
That's fantastic. And it's delightful that that could be a part of the experience for them coming out to see you. Of course, Dave, no stranger to Connecticut, of course. Yeah, this is just great. I appreciate you taking time. Now, just so you know, you don't realize this, but this is actually this episode of the Letterman podcast. This is the 2-year anniversary of the Letterman podcast.
On Dave's birthday.
And we're recording it on Dave's birthday. So happy 77th to the big guy. We just appreciate him and everything that he has done. You know, we talk a lot about the company in this show. This one here, we're talking about Dave. So happy birthday to him. And it's really neat. I'll tell you these little. I'm a
the
true.
Eggs in the mail.
What's that? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, there are no coincidences. I'm a true believer in that there are no coincidences. We had somebody who was lined up to be the guest last year. Our 1-year anniversary guest was Paul Schaefer. That was our 1-year anniversary guest. So we had somebody lined up for this year's incarnation of the anniversary show, and last week I was out of town and I got an email saying, Mike, we're so sorry. This person is extremely busy. Like, they are just extremely busy. And you know, we can't make it work schedule wise. And I was like, okay, I wasn't sure what we were going to do for the 2-year anniversary show. And the moment, Helen, that this connection happened, I was like, oh, this is absolutely perfect. It's absolutely perfect because this is one of those unique things that happens in life only once. It's serendipitous. It's and again, there are no coincidences. Did you kind of feel like, have you kind of felt that little, those pins and needles of serendipity throughout this whole process?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Well, Preston, a lot of people compare him to Forrest Gump. He has a lot of stories, which, you know, you could get into another time, unless you want to today. It's fine, whatever. But but absolutely. It was, you know, it was again, miraculous. Just kind of one of those things.
Well, Helen does too. Her father was an entertainer, and he booked the Rolling Stones into the Cotton Bowl.
Yes, that's right. Well, he worked for the Cotton Bowl, so that wasn't his, he had a lot of different, like, that was one of his many jobs. He was in PR, so that was one of his many jobs, yeah.
Did you go to the show?
Oh, of course, yeah, because it was when I was in high school, so absolutely, yeah.
Did you get an experience to meet the, like, hey, Dad booked it and all that sort of stuff? Did you kind of say, hey, Dad, can I have some sort of a meet and greet?
Not the Stones. There were some others that I got to meet at different times. Not as big as the Stones, though. But yeah, some others that were, you know, were pretty exciting to meet. So
this is the kind of stuff. This is one of the reasons we do the show. This is the kind of stuff that makes life. It turns it from black and white into color. And when you can interact with the things that we're passionate about, like music, like the different art that we love so much, this is one of those things that makes life so vibrant. And I love hearing that. I've been accused of the same Forrest Gump type thing. I've met a lot of my very favorite people in the world, and many of them. Yeah, well, it's happening right now, you know, like with this show, having so many of Dave's writers and producers and some of these people that I've looked up to for so many years. I can sense that you're both extremely grateful people. Is that safe to say?
I think so. Absolutely. I have to be, right? I mean, you know, they say you have, you know, whatever, even if you get lemons, you make lemonade. So, you know, and sometimes you actually get lemonade. So, yeah. This is lemonade.
Preston,
I wrote Paul Schaefer a letter and said, you know, this sign is coming. I said, this sign is coming. And, you know, Paul McCartney sang on top of this sign, and maybe you'd like to be here for this. And, he's on the road, I think. I didn't hear back from him. He doesn't live far away. He lives in Bedford, or he did. I think he's selling his house. Yep. But I thought, well, maybe he'd like to show up here. But that did not happen. We should have had you call him.
Well, I don't know about that.
Right.
I don't know if he'll take my call. Although, that's the one we're going to use. I've got a few different bumpers that I use at the beginning of the show. You're watching the Letterman podcast with Mike Chisholm. Paul is one of them. So we'll use that one for this episode for sure.
Oh, great.
I'm so tickled that you both could make time so quickly for me here today. As we kind of close things off, is there any part of this experience that I missed? Is there anything that you kind of want to talk about here? Any messages that you want to send to Dave or his enthusiasts?
Well, I just want to say that we loved it and we're still having a lot of fun with it. One of the interesting things was, you know, when Dave first arrived, he drove up in the exact same car that my uncle has too. So speaking of serendipity, that was another coincidence. It was like, oh my God, you know, it was just, you know, it made it even more fun and interesting and just sort of like unbelievable, right?
Absolutely. Preston, how about you?
He has a big car collection with 10 Ferraris in an airplane hangar in Danbury. You probably know about that.
Yep.
He's got Porsches, he's got Honda motorcycles, and so I thought, I wonder if he's going to show up in a Ferrari, because he is seen in Connecticut in various Ferraris. And one of them got stolen out of his garage back when he was having that woman visit his house all the time.
Yep.
Till he moved and got much more security. So he pulls in the driveway in my exact blue Tesla S. And so the first thing he got out of the car, he wanted to see my car. And then I have a 1964 Cadillac, which is the same year that the Beatles appeared.
Right.
And he went over and sat in it. And he was asking me about all the features. And he said, I have a 1970, but I like this one more. I'm going to take this one back in the moving van.
That is a very sweet moment. And I'm glad that you left that till now. That is a really, really neat moment. And there's a little bit of footage of the car.
Got good pictures of him in my car. I'm never going to sell it. I'll probably pull one up and put it on the wall.
Preston, you're on the computer right now. You can't walk outside and show us the marquee, right?
I could.
If you could do it, is the weather okay? Is that all right?
The weather's fine. I'm not sure how far the connection will go. Let's give it a try.
Oh yeah, let's stretch the boundaries of technology and see if. it looks like we might have stretched it all the way already.
You can cut it out if it doesn't work.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, no, he's back.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that Dave kept saying throughout the whole video, and it facetiously, but not facetiously, hey, there's the Tesla. He kept saying, we love making dreams come true. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. What a thing.
It's real.
It's real. It's right there. What a thing. That's fantastic. One of the things that Dave kept saying in the video was, we love making dreams come true. Mm-hmm. And he said it in his typical Letterman delivery, which you don't know if it's dripping with sarcasm or if it's just partially sarcastic or if it's just real and cheesy. This is where the statement is.
I think it was both.
It was a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah.
He was making fun of it because it's not like he was feeding the poor or something. It wasn't a soup kitchen. He likes making dreams come true, but you know, Barbara, his producer, said, he really does. He likes to spread it. I mean, when you have that kind of good fortune,
yep.
I heard him say last week in something I saw, he said, well, you know, there are only a few of these shows and I got one of them. That's how he feels. He knows that, yeah, he didn't get the Tonight Show and all that, which he joked about a lot, but he made it even better.
He did.
By not getting it. So. And then he became the longest running host. He outlasted Johnny Carson by quite a few years. So
we talk about that a lot on this program here.
Yeah.
The consensus seems to be, we all, as enthusiasts of Dave and company, we're all really grateful he didn't get the Tonight Show because he got to go make his own mark.
That's right.
You know,
right.
He's not second to anybody.
That is exactly how we feel. You two are, I feel the same way about you two. This is great. Let's please stay in touch. And any pictures or anything that you want to send me that I can kind of insert into the episode, sure. That would be fantastic. Okay. This has been an absolute treat for me. I'm so happy for you. And perhaps one day, Preston, when I make it out east again, for some reason, I might take the drive out there for the pizza and maybe to come take a picture with it. Maybe it'll be on Christmas time. You decorate it up with lights or something like that.
Come out. You know, as long as you get permission from Helen, you can put your hand on it. Touch it.
Dave, again, it was raining the day that he was there, so he tried to sign it, but because it was so wet, he wasn't able to sign it, so maybe he'll show up again one day and sign it.
He said he would come back and sign it. I'm not expecting this to happen, but
right.
You never know, because he doesn't live that far away and he drives through here.
That delights me as well, because I like the idea of maybe one day, you just never know, he's passing by and he just drives by to see if it's still leaning up against the house or not, and gets that little Cheshire Cat grin. Like that's whimsical to me.
He would do something like that.
Yep.
And, I think if somebody in Los Angeles or Hawaii or something won this, I mean, I think he was prepared to go there and fly the sign. They did not. And somebody said, oh, this sounds like it was rigged, you know, it was close to his house. They didn't know that it was going to end up here. You know, Helen was a significant trip further than this, and that's where they were going to go. And they're prepared to move everybody there and do whatever it took, whoever the drawing was for. So,
yeah, the deal for them kind of got better and better and better. Like, you know, you find out, oh, it's, you know, you think, because people all over the world, you talk about making dreams come true, Habitat for Humanity. I know somebody locally who has been the benefit of Habitat for Humanity, and it is an absolute fantastic organization, talking about making dreams come true. But it's funny, I remember watching, the announcement and realizing it was someone from the tri-state area. And I immediately thought, oh, they lucked out there. And the deal actually got better for them every single time. Well, actually, we're going to put it in Connecticut instead. The deal got better for them.
And then he said, I'm not going to say which tri-state area we're in.
So funny. Like,
I had to guess.
But, you know, Helen went to the Colbert show while she was here. And then I went.
Yeah.
After that. So that's continuing too. He's a completely different vibe, Colbert, and that's, he's great too, but we love Dave.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, the Colbert was a lot of fun, you know, great. I would say it's a lot of work. You have to like be really loud. but that was, you know, it was again, the whole experience and the Colbert thing we did on our own, you know, we're like, oh, while we're in New York, let's do that. And, because my brother came out, as you saw in the video, he was flown out to experience this as well. It was great to have, you know, family with, like, you know, a few of the family members there, which I had, you know, again, that was not part of the prize, you know, so it was neat the way that they allowed that to happen, you know, instead of us all meeting in New York in a studio or whatever, you know, that they actually delivered it to the house and he came to the house and things like that. So
two things, Dave did make a big deal about that. He has participated in building Habitat houses and he's very high on this. He is also, as everybody knows, a huge donor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He gave $1 million to Ball State.
Yep.
He's given $1 million to a lot of things, very generous. And then he said, while he was standing by the sign and we were all out there, he said, you know what I love about this? I see this family together. You guys are all having a good time. You love each other. You did this as a unit. He said, I don't have that. I wish that I did.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You bring up a point where, as you can imagine, like our show is entirely positive. We don't talk about, we don't go down, gossip and scandal can go live somewhere else. That's kind of how my little tagline to people. It's funny because, you know, people always talk about how private and some of these things about Dave, and one of the things that I've been cautioned on, and I'm going to say a little statement here and I'll leave it at that. As I've learned things throughout this 2 years, Dave's generosity comes up. You would understand it because you actually saw the band and felt the energy and felt that through this experience. Dave's generosity has come up so many times, and yet people have said, you know what, but he does it for the right reason. He doesn't do it to make accolades from it. He doesn't bring a film crew and things like this here is, you know, something funny, but you know, but for the things that you're talking about, the ways that he does give back, he does it for the right reasons. He does it because it's the right thing to do. He wants to make the world a better place. You know, I think about the World Food Programs and Habitat like this, and some of the things that he has put forward are all organizations that are making a difference in this world. He himself is that type of person. And Dave's generosity.
He's quiet about it.
Exactly. He is, mm-hmm. but he is an extremely generous guy. He's one of the reasons why he's such an important part of so many people. So many people look up to him. And right. And that translates through.
And it was nice, you know, that that many of the people that were with him when he had the show are still with him. You know, Barbara, Walter, Nancy, Mary, they were all there. And that they've, you know, that they've been together, you know, that they're still, you know, together after all these years was just really nice. Like, you know, that he must have been a great person to work for, which is, you know, something to say in this day and age, right?
Absolutely. And you talk about Barbara. I mean, I adore Barbara. I've met her a couple of times and I just appreciate her so, so much. She was there at the morning show. She was back all the way back to the beginning. And you think about the testament of that, how mm-hmm. at the morning show, you know, starting out, they didn't know what they were doing. And through that entire run, ended up becoming the executive producer, the gal behind the podium for the last Late Show and all the way up to the very last Late Show. And something to be said for that. I just appreciate you marking that as well. It's so cool that we can all.
You said they kept promoting you. And then they'd say, well, you know, you need to push a little harder in this. And she's, well, I'm shy. You knew who you were.
She said that was when she was showrunner, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mike, you heard that too.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just, as far as I'm concerned, I made two new friends today. Please, 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 let's right. keep in touch. And again, I'm gonna come by and see.
We'll be over.
Yeah, and you'll have to wear your jacket so we can get pictures of the two of you in your matching jackets.
Oh, there we go. This is the type right? of stuff that I love. I'm a fanboy at heart, and that's I love that stuff. That's whimsical to me.
What's for breakfast?
Yeah. Well, I'm bringing pizza. Are you kidding me? You just got to tell me which one to bring.
Even better.
Even better. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you guys so, so much for giving of your time today. And it's coming out on the anniversary. So April 20th is our anniversary. So it's coming out on Friday next week. We'll take it from there. So thank you guys so, so much. This has been an absolute treat and it worked out perfectly. This is the perfect 2 year anniversary episode. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. And thank everyone for the amazing ride.
What were you saying, Helen?
I was just saying that's great to know that it's the anniversary of your podcast. So that's, you know, makes it even more special.
I couldn't agree more. And you're right, Preston, a fantastic ride. Thank you both so much. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. I'll be in touch.
Thank you. Yeah. Sounds good. Take care.
Peace and love, kids. Great. See you later.
Yeah. Peace and love. Bye.
Oh, how cool was that? I just... I could feel the energy through the ones and zeros, as we like to say. That was just, it was so delightful. I'm so glad they won. I'm so glad they won that marquee. Yes, we had plans for it. We did have plans for it. I had a spot in the garage. Now that I've seen it up against the house, I'm not sure that spot in the garage would have been big enough. And I was going to shoot intros to the show and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, no, forget that. Forget that. It is so, so lovely. That Helen got this thing and she has a special connection with her uncle and what a cool story that was. Again, this has been a pleasure for me over the last 2 years to do this. And we just all witnessed real time. One of the reasons why a lot of fun connecting with folks, with this common, love that we have this common enthusiasm. The Letterman Podcast has one sponsor so far, one sponsor only, and that is hello-deli.com. Go to hello-deli.com and you can get yourself official Late Show with David Letterman merchandise. Maybe not the marquee, that's a one of one, but they got mugs, they got shirts, they got hats, they got all sorts of other stuff for sale at hello-deli.com. Of course, curated and owned by Rupert G himself, former owner of the Hello Deli. He may not have the deli anymore, but he has hello-deli.com. This has been another episode. 2 years. 2 years. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate every one of you that have given me a chance. And for those of you who love the subject but don't love the host, thank you for putting up with this thing. For those of you who still hang in there, it's one of the most fun things I do in my entire life. This has been another episode of the Letterman Podcast with Mike Chisholm. Coincidentally, I am Mike Chisholm. Thank you, and good night.
Everybody here feels good about this.
Right? Great.
Oh,
my
gosh, they're very good. Yeah.
Because now this is like immortality.
Yeah. Overcoat and underpants.